Thank you, and good Saturday, everyone, and welcome into the Bonesville pregame podcast. Al Myatt, and joined by Kevin Monroe, a former great in the East Carolina secondary, and you can hear Kevin this afternoon sharing his observations on the Pirate Radio Network as East Carolina plays host to in-state rival North Carolina, kicking off at 3:30 this afternoon at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. And Kevin will be just 6 days, I guess, from the season opener with North Carolina A&T, the Aggies, extending their winning streak to 14 games, 28-23, over the Pirates, who had the statistical edge. But on the scoreboard, it was A&T with the victory and a frustrating setback for the Pirates and Pirate Nation. And you look at moving the football, East Carolina did that. But I think there were 6 trips, first and goal, and the Pirates got a total of 9 points out of those opportunities. That has to improve, -3 on turnover, and that has to improve. And I know you were in your temporary quarters high atop Bagwell Field there, Kevin, but I think we saw a lot of the same things in terms of what East Carolina needs to do going forward.
Yeah, you know, it was a tough game to watch. I'm sure it was tough for the coaches to coach and the players to play. It just seemed like the Pirates couldn't quite finish drives, and defensively they'd be right, kind of in the right place and not make the play. There were a couple drives early. The Pirates opened up with the football, drove it all the way down, and could only manage a field goal inside, I think, their own 10-yard line or maybe even closer. And then they come back down and drive it. After they stop A&T, they drive it again all the way down inside the 5 or so and throw a 100-yard interception return, which is just a backbreaker, especially considering they had a receiver. I think it was Blake Prohl wide open in the corner of the end zone, and Reed just didn't see him. And those things happen. It just takes one mistake, you know, one mishap in your progression as a quarterback to really turn the game on its head. And you talk about having the opportunity to go up, you know, 10-0. Instead, you're down 7-3. And then, you know, obviously the Pirates are able to come back and score 2 more touchdowns and get up, you know, 17-7, I think. But you just never know what the game would have looked like had that pick 6 not have happened. So many different things, you know, could have gone differently in that game, should have gone differently in that game. But A&T really came to play and took advantage of their opportunities.
They do have winning momentum, and that has a lot of value sometimes. And Pirates had another opportunity to start the second half, got down to the A&T 2-yard line, lost possession on a fumble. They did have the lead after a field goal, had the Aggies 3rd and 14 on the negative side of the 50, and big play, and A&T went into East Carolina territory on a pass by the backup quarterback and then scored, and East Carolina in its remaining 3 possessions was unable to retake the lead, so A&T got the victory. You know, one thing, Kevin, the defense looked better, and that's maybe overshadowed in terms of the setback. But last year against James Madison, I think the Dukes had 3 long scoring runs, and East Carolina was not quite as susceptible to the big play, had 12 tackles for loss, did not generate a turnover. That's something that we hope will change. But I think David Blackwell has that unit headed in the right direction.
100%. Yeah, I think the most important thing, and the thing that stood out to me even in the first defensive series, was there was always players where they were supposed to be, right? If there was a receiver running down the field, there was a DB running with him. If there was a running back carrying the ball, there was 4 or 5 or 6 or more helmets headed towards him to make the tackle. Now, did they miss some tackles throughout the game? Sure they did. Was there some plays in the secondary that should have been made, could have been made? Absolutely. But if you look at it from the aspect of what we saw last year, marketable improvement. Just the fact that, you know, Colby Gore gets beat for a touchdown, but he's right there. The ball just kind of slips right past his hand. Corey Sargent, you know, same situation. I think it was him where the kid made a one-arm catch on him in the corner of the end zone. So two plays made in the end zone that were just, you know, nice plays where DBs were right there, just didn't finish the play. You talk about the third and long to help them get the opportunity to score a touchdown. They get backed up. They have a penalty. They have a play for a loss. They get backed up, and the Pirates have a chance to put them away, and they slip out in a screen play for the running back, and he makes a nice effort. And so just a couple of plays go the other way. East Carolina wins this game by two touchdowns, but it just didn't work out that way. A&T made the plays they needed to make. East Carolina didn't make the plays they needed to make. But as you said, the defense looks so much better. I'm not saying they're going to finish in the top half of the country, but certainly they won't be in that bottom quartile where they were a year ago. I think they'll be a much more successful defense now. They're going to play some tough teams. I mean, Virginia Tech was just unbelievable, and West Virginia, very good as well. And this is a Carolina team that's got a lot of talent that they're going to see out there today. So they're going to have to play better than they play against A&T, but certainly head in the right direction.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the game this afternoon then, Kevin. North Carolina and East Carolina have had limited success recently. There is, talk about both coaches being on the hot seat, Scotty Montgomery for the Pirates and Larry Fedora for the Tar Heels. I think either one can buy some time with a win this afternoon, but it's only going to get hotter for the losing coach, and that's a factor, I think, going in. Nobody wants to be coaching with their job on the line, I don't think, but that seems to be the situation.
Yeah, and both teams have tough schedules. You know, after us, Carolina's got UCF. That's probably not a winnable game for them. They got Pitt, Miami, Virginia Tech. Those are all three going to be tough games. So this is a game that both coaches have marked in their schedule as winnable games, games they need to win if they plan on getting anywhere near bowl eligible this season. Certainly the Pirates took a huge blow by losing to A&T. To try to get to six wins now seems very, very tough. But who knows? Who knows which way the season turns? They have the ability to do it. They've got the talent to do it. I don't think we saw a great day out of Trayvon Brown. I think there's more that he can show. I don't think we saw a great day from any of the running backs for the Pirates last week. So I think they can do better. The offensive line can do better in blocking. And I think, guys like Kendall Futrell, who was highly touted coming in, was kind of we didn't see a whole lot out of him in that game. So there's players that are big-time players that have the ability to make some plays, make some things happen, that really didn't show up last week. And I expect them to step up in today's game. So you just never know how much better the Pirates could be. Not a bad opening effort, but certainly well below where they should have been against an opponent that they could beat. And now they find themselves fighting an uphill battle against a Carolina team that's hungry for a win as well.
Well, that's right. And one thing about last week, there does appear to be some depth at receiver. I don't think defenses are necessarily going to be able to key on Trayvon Brown. Terrell Green with a big game. Blake Prohl showing his potential. DeAndre Ferrier is certainly a capable receiver, potentially a very good receiver. There's great potential, I think, in the return game. Jake Verity, you don't want to see him out there, but he didn't miss his opportunities on last Sunday. And so some good things are overshadowed because of the outcome. But, everybody's looking forward. I think Coach Montgomery said Monday morning, got the guys out there, or Tuesday morning, had to give them Monday off. Tuesday morning, got the guys out there. You know, the A&T loss is in the past. Nothing can be done about that. But there is the potential this week for a huge win to ignite the fan base and give the program some confidence going forward.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I think that the program is at a very, very low point, probably as low as it's been since the John Thompson era. In 03 and 04, it's not the losing so much. It's just the the low expectations, and then you feel like the team even, you know, plays under what you were, your low expectations. You know, you almost feel like you don't mind the loss, but you want a competitive loss to competitive teams, and you want to feel good about the effort. And I think Pirate fans don't feel good about the offensive effort, don't feel good about the team they lost to, and almost feel like, you know, they're becoming kind of the joke of the in-state schools, and that's a bad feeling to have as a Pirate, because, you know, Pirates already have chip on their shoulders, and they don't want to get in a situation where it's even worse than it was before. So I think a great effort today, a win today, can change a lot of perspectives, can change a lot of people's ideals about this team and what they can do and how good they can be. So it's huge. It's huge for this coaching staff. I think, you know, the quarterback play from Reed Herring was okay in the first half and showed some accuracy on some short throws, but as his ability to stretch the field wasn't great, and in the second half the ball wasn't moved as well as it should have been. And so I think the offense has a lot to do there. The running game was non-existent. So there's several things they can improve on offensively, and then defensively just find a way to make those plays that you just missed in last week's game.
Well, Kevin, your coach, Steve Logan, used to say that losing creates problems and winning solves problems. And let's talk about Kevin's keys to the game and solving some of those problems.
Yeah, I kind of hit on some of them, but I think the Pirates have yet to show on film that they have a receiver that can stretch the field. They kind of bracketed Trayvon Brown. He was unable to get loose. So somebody's got to step up and get some 25-plus yard plays, whether it's a running back breaking a big one or receiver getting downfield. But the Pirates have to find a way to stretch the field, back the defense up a little bit, and make them play them honest instead of crowding 7-8 in the box and saying, hey, you can't beat me deep. They got to find a way to get that done. Some explosion plays is certainly what the Pirates need. Defensively, somebody's got to come up with some turnovers. You know, you can't go a whole day, a whole game with no turnovers and expect to win. So, you know, interception here, fumble recovery there, block kick there. Find a way to get the football. And then also just establishing a running game. So somewhere in that line of scrimmage, the offensive lineman got to step up and get some movement, find some space for, you know, Scott and Howe and Christian and some of those guys to run, because there just wasn't a whole lot there, and it's hard to have a good passing game if you can't run the football. So certainly find the running game, stretch the field, and then defensively get some turnovers.
Sounds good, Kevin, and we'll see what we see. Hope for the best, and look forward to talking with you next week on the Bonesville Pregame Podcast.
Appreciate it, Al.
This little ship, bloody Pirates!